Revelation chapter 6, verses 9 through 17. And when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God, and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, How long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? And white robes were given unto every one of them, and it was said unto them that they should rest yet for a little season, until their fellow servants also and their brethren, that should be killed as they were, should be fulfilled. And I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal, and, lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood, and the stars of heaven fell unto the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs, when she is shaken of a mighty wind. And the heaven departed as a scroll when it is rolled together. And every mountain and island were moved out of their places, and the kings of the earth, and the great men, and the rich men, and the chief captains, and the mighty men, and every bondman, and every free man, hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains and rocks, Fall on us, and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne, and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? In the first two verses of this chapter, we saw the movement we should pray and strive to be a part of, the proclamation of the gospel by godly example day by day, by diverse ministries our Father has blessed his children with, all to glorify God's Son, our only Savior and Master, our King of Kings and Lord of Lords. His personal pleasure is to transform dead sinners into the heirs of life everlasting. For such a great deed, he can use a feeble instrument like a sinner formerly lost in darkness, now delivered. In the verses 3 to 8, it is revealed to us what we might face at times in the world, and what are consequences of godlessness. Verses 9 through 11, the Lamb of God opened the fifth seal. John saw the souls of martyrs slain for holding their testimony of God's word. They shouted, How long, O Lord, holy and true, before thou wilt judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? They received white robes and the gospel message. Their waiting time is short. More martyrs are scheduled. In a few words, so much is being revealed to us. Let us keep our focus on our Redeemer, our perfect example. He sets us free from doubts and fears. With his victory in our heart, he has overcome the world for us. Peter saw the waves and lost his Savior, but he cried, Lord, save me. Matthew 14:29-31. If our fears prevent us from seeing the victory of Christ in the faithful testimonies, we can benefit by looking closely at these verses. Our Lord's martyrs are his kings on this earth. They know the King of Kings and are victorious in him. Our Savior is glorified in them. Our Lord Jesus removed this seal for all that trust and follow his guidance. He gave us an open vision of his glorious victory in us now and in his everlasting glory. That victory is blissfully manifested in our Savior's life and death on earth, because he is victorious martyr since the beginning and abides forever. At times, the faithful disciples of our Master can get burdened with cruel oppression and raging evil in the world we invite unto the only Savior. At times, we might question, is there any good result of all our labor? It's a blessing and encouragement often to look up to this altar, all God's ransomed are there. In Hebrews 9, verses 24 and 28, we see our Lord Jesus as both the priest and the offering in the heavenly sanctuary. No man will ever enter into his glory, but he is redeemed, and none of his ransomed will be left to perish. Let us cleave in faithfulness to our Savior with full assurance in our heart. He is faithful. But the disobedient are on the left-hand side, Matthew 7, 21 through 29, and chapter 25, 41 through 46. Claiming the blessings and promises while in disobedience is a snare of the devil, and so is every distrusting any part of the gospel. These martyrs are revealed to us still down here, not to exclude them from the rest of God's saved people. This is an encouragement to all believers facing martyrdom, and an admonishment for all Christians to admire the grace of God in the martyrdom of His faithful. The voice of His martyrs is very strong in our Father's hearing. In Genesis 4:10, God powerfully hears Abel's blood, although Cain thinks Abel is dead. In joy or suffering, in life or death, God knows all that is in our hearts, because His Son's Spirit is in His dwelling place on earth. What then means the shout from under this altar? Are Christ's martyrs begging impatiently for revenge? Our Lord, just nailed to the pillar of suffering and shame, is asking forgiveness. Luke 23:34. In Acts 7:60, Stephen, Stephan says, "Lord, lay not this sin to their charge." In Genesis 50:17, it looks like Joseph is weeping because his brothers have not realized that he forgave them long before they asked. In the following verses, he, Joseph, says that God meant all their evil for the good of saving much people, including themselves. Trusting our Lord's goodness and grace in all our suffering enables us to forgive in the name of Christ. The entire humanity is a fallen race, unwilling to accept God's grace and salvation in Christ. Many times we ignore God, the giver of all blessings. We stubbornly reject our Savior's call to repent and forsake sin. We deserve death, not life. Often our Lord's Spirit moves our heart and enlightens our mind to seek His salvation in the midst of adversities, when we are not puffing up in pride, but feeling helpless in despair. We learn our Father's mercy and the depth of perdition He delivered us from. We grow in the new life. We grow in faith and knowledge of our blessed Redeemer and Master. He reveals to us the purpose and value of suffering with Him in the world He is inviting to repent from sin and seek mercy unto salvation. We ask our Lord to give us grace He has and pay for the sin we have. Then we ask the same for all men. When we forgive any man, we confess that their sin is not against us, but against our owner and master. We leave all at His feet. We remember His forgiveness and His promise not to reject anyone that come to Him, John 6:37. Knowing all these facts, could the martyrs under the altar eagerly seek vengeance? In this book, with many symbols and allegories, we, men of deficient insight, can form some baseless interpretations based on our carnality that seems so natural to us. We have nothing our own. We have been purchased with a great price. We have no blood of our own, but the blood of Jesus, God's Lamb. Even so, we must not be hasty seeking vengeance against those that refuse the gospel we preach. They are our former fellow sinners. How long did we reject his grace? Saul of Tarsus, a hardcore murderer, once delivered from darkness and hell, hasted from suffering to more suffering to save his murderers. I perceive that these martyrs are well aware of both God's grace of salvation in Christ and God's judgment against Satan and sin. They are amazed by God's patience and his grace, transforming awful sinners into wonderful heirs of life everlasting. The martyrs adorned in Christ's own righteousness. The garments of pure white they received when they believed and obeyed their Savior. In this world of sin and darkness, living in Christ is greater wealth than any peace and pleasure Satan and the world can promise but can never give. The Holy Spirit made them kings on earth, and we should pursue their path. Their shout, "How long?" is an expression of amazement, admiration, and adoration. How long is His, God's, time of patience and endurance for the few sinners that will eventually turn to Him, believe, and obey His call? We don't want to be ignorant of the 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, especially the verse 6. God will judge sin. But our concern should not be His prerogatives. He never failed. All His work is perfect. Deuteronomy 32:35, Hebrews 10:30, Jude verse 7. In John 16:30, our Lord gives us His peace and His victory in the midst of tribulation. He is our fountain, overflowing with joy when suffering and sadness surround us on all sides. Suffering in the world is for a short time. Waiting after martyrdom is a short span. Glory and rejoicing with the host of heaven and with all the redeemed in the presence of the Father and the Son is forever. None of persecutions are incidental or accidental. Our Lord guards us, His flock, every step of the way. Verses 12 through 14. John is watching the mighty Lamb removing the sixth seal. The earth is quaking horribly. The sun is now black, not bright. The moon has bloody color. The stars drop down as untimely fig fruits. The heaven rolled away like a scroll. All mountains and islands were moved out of their places. Is this a chaos? I don't think so. It's a perfect order of changes God has ordered. On the sixth day, God completed creation of the world, removing the sixth seal before our eyes. He is revealing to us the truth we should have known since we grew up to the level of early childhood's discernment. He sustains all. He appoints the limits of suffering for His children in their pilgrimage. He sets limits for the forces of evil. He orders the end before the beginning. He rules the universe and suffers evil for a time to manifest His perfect judgment in the sight of the heavenly hosts and in the sight of all the redeemed. All power and holiness is His. The land seems unmovable. It's standing in its place for centuries and millenniums. Sinful rulers of states usurp blasphemous names and titles, build fortresses, gather weapons and ammunition, prepare massive armies, and labor to make us think. To make us think, they will last forever. This seal removed reveals the facts. God alone is the ruler of the universe. All sinners are Satan's slaves. If they repent not, they cannot escape the fate of their master. The Lord reveals to us how weak and deceitful is His defeated enemy. when men refuse to believe God's word, trust in Satan's tricks, they give the devil power over them. The sun and moon cannot last longer than the time our Creator appointed for them. Far less can any tyrant, any man-made government, any persecutor of God's children stay in power one moment longer than the time limited by our God. The power of the Almighty is real and eternal, since ever and forever. Removing these seals, our Lord is giving us more faith and understanding to make our life in Christ His victory in us and through us. So we can see that all is ready for God's appointed moment. For sinners and unbelievers, every major change is frightening because they ignore God's warning and Christ's call. As the sun appeared black, much more shall turn black all the glory of the world at its end. Indeed, it is already black in its pomp and vanity, but the eyes blinded by sin refuse to see reality of the gospel truth. Our Creator placed the stars in their places throughout the universe, and He can remove them as He wills. So shall fall at His judgment all the false stars of entertainment, politics, leadership, and fame. Health, wealth, and lustful pleasures were changing users many times in the history of the world. In the end of sin and iniquity, God will end forever the sinful race as the untimely fig fruits are shaken off by a strong wind. We were told by the news media that some of the volcanic islands disappeared in the recent history. Our God can remove continents if He elects to do so. Some religious groups are large, and their masses move from their former standards with any wind of sinful tendencies and worldly influences to worship idols. Others are slowly but constantly drifting after the world, keeping a short distance just to feel godlier. Only the hearts founded firmly on the rock of ages cleft for us will be preserved in Him to the end of their journey and rejoice in His appearance as the judge of all that refused His saving grace and His goodwill. All careless rebels with all of their false godliness shall be moved like islands away from their self-confidence. God has judged all the idols of Egypt, Babylon, Assyria, and Israel, all the idols that the ungodly minds in their dark imagination hanged up in their sky to worship. Daily we see the modern idols collapsing. We can see the signs of our God's displeasure in their fall. They prefer to label that as bad luck. Sinners didn't believe Noah's preaching until it was too late. And so it is today, and until the end, and until the judgment. God moved the mountains and islands from their places. He gave them these places in the first place, in the past times. Every impenitent sinner, every group, nation, empire, everyone in all generations of human history is facing God's judgment. Only the souls redeemed in Christ, loyal to His mastership, are safe and preserved. That place given them by God's grace to hear the gospel, the rebels despised, and that place will be removed from them in the due time. Verses 15 through 17. The entire rebellious humanity hides itself in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains. They seek refuge in and help from the lifeless rocks and cliffs. Misguided for so long by the evil one, they now try to escape from the merciful and just God they deliberately ignored and despised until now. By their words or deeds or both. They denied him existence or his authority altogether. But now they see him on his throne judging, and they still trust in their caves. Their last hope is ending in their own destruction. They still refuse to acknowledge his supremacy. Such is the darkness of rebellion and idolatry. Darkness is exposed here so graphically, but it is not an entirely new foolishness of sinful, darkened mind. The Lord Jesus is revealing here the same stubborn, rebellious character of disobedience that he told us about in the Gospel books. Matthew 7:21-29, Luke 6:46-49, and chapter 13:24-28. Rebellion is a deadly snare. I perceive that a dangerous pitfall is hiding behind the attitudes condemned by our Savior in these references. Nominal confidence, secret personal disobedience, and underestimating God's word given to us in Christ Jesus. If we regard any man as more or less than just a man, we offend our Savior and Lord. It is an awful tragedy to see any believer deliberately rebelling against the word after we have known that person as a faithful disciple. We should pray for all God's children to be preserved and blessed in faithfulness. Our greatest need is our personal relationship with our Savior and Lord, our hearty loyalty to our Master. No part of the gospel teaching is negligible, and no part too huge for us that we shouldn't pray for, strive for, and confess to the truth that only by the grace of our Father in Christ we labor to please Him. Pride, self-confidence, and negligence are poison. Our enemy strives to mix it with the pure water of life and truth. These evil attitudes are constantly used by the devil for flattering our accomplishments and accusing our brethren and our Lord. We must be armed with the fact. All our good deeds are our Lord's grace in us, in spite of our weakness. If we are in Christ this time of His grace, we abide in Him, saved forever.